episode 464 of the Global From Asia podcast, talking about AI and e-commerce, some hacks, some real-life strategies I'm using to accelerate our Amazon and e-commerce businesses. So let's tune in today.
Welcome to the Global From Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight-up, actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
I hope everybody's having a fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whatever in the world you're listening to this or maybe watching. I am here in my home studio. I was on the road, busy as always. I mean, I was talking to Andres, my partner, one of my businesses, and he's saying that he thinks AI is going to make people lazier. It might be true for most people, but for me, I call it supercharging, working harder than ever, building more than ever. And I'm excited to share with you a few of the strategies that I've been using. I had an e-com meetup here in Chiang Mai, and I figured I'd take the camera with me to record. We also have an amazing mastermind in Pattaya in mid-July, and we're going to start to do more exclusive experienced seller meetups just because we want more experienced people, and no offense to the new people, but it's like a different kind of event. So I felt like I got pretty advanced and some of the people there weren't following it, so I'm going to move to more advanced meetups. Just FYI, stay tuned for that. Of course, our amazing cross-border summit, which is very advanced. I mean, I want to learn from it, and I'm an experienced seller for 20 years, so it's an event I want to learn from. So anyway, I feel like advanced, or maybe get some insights about ways I'm using AI for e-commerce, for reporting. A lot of it might not be external, it's internal, but that helps you grow. So let's tune in.
Attention e-commerce entrepreneurs, ready to take your business to the next level while living the VIP life in paradise? Join the GFA VIP Villa Mastermind Pattaya 2025, an exclusive four-day mastermind for established e-commerce sellers. From July 13th to 16th, you'll be immersed in a luxury private villa with a pool, dedicated meeting spaces, and 10 hand-picked high-level entrepreneurs, all focused on growth, strategy, and big wins. Structured knowledge sharing sessions, actionable insights, and unmatched networking. Plus, adventure and fun in vibrant Pattaya. Spots are extremely limited. Secure your place before it's gone.
So, I feel like if I use a keyword AI, more people would come. E-commerce is not as cool as it used to be, I think, right? But I'm going to share some of the things I've been learning with AI for e-commerce and give you some prompts and tactics and hacks. If I can figure out, I use this gamma. But I think one of the big ones is personalization. Alex is sharing too about AIs replacing humans, but with that, I think will mean websites might totally change based on the person visiting the website. I think we're still used to seeing what everybody else sees, but it even already happens with Google search, Amazon search. The results are based on the person. They're not just based on your search keyword, but they know who you are, where you are. I think that's going to get even more apparent and clear. Like, websites might just totally morph based on who you are. It'll know all about you already. It will give you products and services that you want based on that. But what I've been liking a lot is inventory and pricing optimization. So I'll show you exactly what I'm doing. So I put a lot on websites. So this is, I'm not going to put this on. If you're not here, you're watching this, you're not going to see this. I'm not going to share this totally open. But for those that are in the room, this was spit out by AI. What I did is I used Sellerboard for my Amazon. And I downloaded it for this month of May, last month. And what it did is it read the top products that sold.
So these are my. I don't see. Sorry, I forgot glasses. Can you read it? What are the products?
They're various bar supplies.
Bar supply. Okay.
Yeah, like I'm in the bar supplies category. So I'll show you a little bit.
Maybe. The glasses.
No problem. So basically, I'm pulling this from Sellerboard, but you can pull this directly from Amazon. You don't have to get fancy about the data, but you would. I go.
Is it 1 million or 130?
130,000.
Okay, because I see 1 million.
And then you can get this from Amazon directly or Shopify or any kind of platform, but I downloaded it by month. I just took 1 month's sales. But what I also was doing is I started putting more and more data into it. So I just use grok.com. And then I just literally go to Grok, and then I would see if I can show you my chat history.
My wife is using Gemini, and she's subscribed to.
So basically what this is, I'm giving it the data, and it's giving me results back. So this is in 2 years of history of this sales. So what it breaks down is, some of the stuff's pretty basic, like just total sales, but it gives me my top product by sales. It gives me my sales growth for the top product. So it identifies when it started to really sell, but you can see how it started really dominating. Like actually last month was record for me. I think the tariffs were good for me. And then also highlights which had high refund rates. But my favorite part is the actual conclusions. So it doesn't just give you the data, it gives you like which ones are not doing well, which ones have bad sales, which have high refund rates, which it says sales peaks, maybe holiday, growth opportunities, tells me the products that maybe I should focus more on. I mean, this is better than a human. Like, I have great humans working for me. I sent this to like one of my Amazon account manager, and he was like, how did you do that? I showed the charts, and he was pretty blown away. And it just gives you like recommendations. So inventory recommendations. I feel like that's one of my weaknesses in e-commerce is predicting inventory sales. But now I'm putting in 2 years of data. I'm uploading all this right in raw. Like it's not like I'm not spending a lot of time. My prompts are just simply like see attached. This is a longer one. Sometimes what I do is I transcribe a Zoom call, and then I put the Zoom call transcriptions into Grok, and then it summarizes it. But I do it all within the same thread. So my threads, I call them threads, are very, very long. This is because I wanted to keep the memory. But you can see the first one was, you're a financial analyst, help make a report showing the performance of last month's Amazon sales, taking into account which products are most profitable versus highest turnover. Make recommendations on areas we can improve. And then I pasted it, but then I realized it wasn't as good pasting it as it was attaching it. So I uploaded it as a CSV in the second shot, and it gave me it better. Again, the stuff's still just developing. Like, it was kind of stuck. I think it didn't really fully pull it out. But I said, can you try again? Here's a spreadsheet. And then it gives me this report, right? And then I download this report as HTML, see? And then I put this, I just like to have it on the website, so I put it on this, it's my private kind of like staging server, and I just host it there, and then I just send it to people. Maybe I should be private about this because it is my sales top products, but I'm not trying to index it in Google. But I just keep talking about it. And then I use this long thread.
But honestly, Mike, you were always honest about things you do. Like, people know how much successful, how much unsuccessful it's at, you know. I don't think there is need to our copycat sellers, because that's the problem in e-commerce. As soon as they know what sounds like a clone, takeaway is.
But if I'm correct, you had some consultancy also about people who want to.
Yeah, I have a service company where I have a couple of clients that I help on a long-term basis. It's not really like a.
You have the service that you offer people to help them achieve success.
Yeah, I mean, I work with a couple of like more established sellers that I know. It's not like a big service I tell everybody about because I've learned with services. I don't like to do the sales part, and I have to like explain and educate. So
you're not coach. You're not.
Yeah, coach. Yeah. So if I have a friend or somebody I know that's established and they like what I do and they somewhat flexible, I might work with them on like a monthly retainer basis with our team.
Yeah.
And our skills.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not my core service. But of course.
Good point about copycats. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the issues, but. I'm not that, I mean, I've shared about my brands on my shows, but of course, even with AI, you can also use it for sourcing. So you can take a picture of a product and put it into probably any LLM now, but I like Grok, but any LLM, you can put a picture And you can, or maybe some text, and you say, find me suppliers of this product. I've blown people away with that because they always get scared because like sometimes a seller friend will say that he has some only one factory in China can do this. And I find it in like one prompt. And he's like, because he doesn't want to tell me. I'm like, is it this blah, 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 Shenzhen Company Limited? He's like, he doesn't say anything. So yeah, the barrier is dropping. But at the same time, I think the hard part is to get noticed now, right? Everybody spends so much money on advertising, right? So I think the moat is the distribution or the attention. I always think of Gary Vee, and he says, you're trading trust and attention. That's all we have. That's why I really try hard to keep trust, because I think that's the most valuable thing within a world of AI is trust. But it's trust, and it's also distribution or attention. Eyeballs, people paying attention. Because now anybody can find a product, anybody can list a product, anybody can make social media ads or make anything. It's getting almost scary, right, to stand out. But let's go back to my little simple outline. But yeah, so one use is inventory and pricing optimization, right? So we still have our human team, our experts, like Christian might be watching this. But I still tell them, please, if you don't use AI, you're going to be behind. So use this to give you superpower. So you can put this data into it, and it gives you ideas of price, trends, inventory. It's mind-blowing, because I felt like I was somewhat guessing before how many to reorder. And now you can kind of see historical trends, history. It's really amazing. Customer service, this is something I'm not still an expert in, but I know this is something we got to get better on in my business. But with AI now, you can have, of course, automated emails. I mean, the very basic is nobody on my team asks me for a script anymore. I used to have people ask me for a script of what to say to a customer. AI helps them with the script. So even for me, when I have to deal with like a difficult situation of the customer or a client, I just type freestyle to an LLM. And it helps me like write a good response. So that's a basic one. But the best are these chatbots, which maybe Alex can share in future session.
Claude, have you heard about Claude?
Yeah, Claude.
Yeah. My wife loves it.
Yeah, I mean,
she said that all the coding is very accurate, high accuracy.
Yeah, Claude's
she
used great
it for the prediction, her prediction model, and she said it works. It's not good as you do it by yourself. It's not good as that. Let's not kid ourselves. But it's high accuracy, very almost zero mistakes.
Yeah, so Claude, of course, is a great LLM. But what I mean by customer service is where I have a live chat on my website. Uh-huh. And they can chat to an AI, and uh-huh. It almost seems like a human. I mean, I think it's been around for 5-10 years, but people always know it's the agent, and they're like, talk to human. But I'm trying to make it where it doesn't seem like an agent. So when I feel comfortable about that, I'll start to put like chats on my websites so that they can get an answer in real time from the AI. So that's one thing. And it is possible, and it can be done, and it's just I haven't gotten to this yet. But you can have chatbots on your website. So maybe even for the meetup, Stefan, you could have a chatbot. So I know you're so busy talking to so many people. Imagine you could have them talk to someone that's trained on your experience, and they could get answers.
Are getting a little bit, you know, the type of people that are coming this year have some unusual commercial people like you or Rene or him, you know, or him. So a little bit unconventional. So the request that I'm getting out of ordinary. So I'm not confident with AI things yet. Because
okay. It's true. I mean, to be effective, it should have some kind of context and history of how to handle that request and that answer. But I mean, customer service for sure is totally going to change. I mean, I work with a lot of people in the Philippines on our team, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of these BPOs, mm-hmm. and those guys are in trouble. I think they've days already, if they're not already, yeah, their days are numbered, because you don't need those big rooms of agents, human agents, like responding in chat or phone calls. That's all moving to AI. And I should get ahead. I have to figure. There's so much I'm learning. I'll show you some videos too. They're fun ones to show to Alex. But customer service for sure. You gotta like get this going with AI. So here's some exact prompts. If you want to use customer analysis. So you could just use something like analyze purchase history to suggest 5 personal recommendations. Basically, one other way I look at that is product ideas. So if you need new product ideas for your Amazon or e-commerce business, you can take your current products and your sales data. Actually, I could probably go, but man, I can do it right now on that same thread, right? I could probably even ask right now, like, can you suggest 5 new potential products based on this sales history above? I don't even probably have to say above. So the cool thing is you're training your model, right? So you notice I didn't have to give it any data. I just prompted something because it already knew. It already has the data. So once you start to train it, it's giving me ideas right now as I am doing this. So one of my favorite things to do is I say, give it to me in HTML, CSS, because then I could download it as a web page and I can like host it really fast. But yeah, it gave me 5 product ideas. Interesting. And I might even get some ideas from this. But what's really interesting is it's getting smarter every day. And it's learning about you and your business. So the more you talk to it and train it, I think you actually have to have opt-in. I allow it to remember. Some people turn it off. Because there's a setting in these LLMs. You can turn this on or off. You can personalize using X. You can have, I like this on, but I saw somebody, I watched a YouTube video about using Grok, advanced Grok. He turns this off. Personalizing Grok with your conversation. I leave it because I actually want it to remember, because I'll reference it. I'll say, based on what I said, this, give me ideas. So I'm consciously knowing what I think we should all be aware of. What we put in there is going to remember. Even if you delete it, I don't think it's really deleted. So what you say to these things is going to be tracked.
I know, but I don't think you need to worry about, because you're a vanilla guy.
Yeah, I always say that, but it's...
I need to worry about what I'm looking and what I'm searching, so I couldn't do this. But
well,
you
another...
Like your
I mean, another...
2 kids and a beautiful wife.
Yeah, but like your medical lookup, like medical things, or maybe it's not... I know that's something like... A lot of people say about privacy, oh, you have nothing to hide. But it's not really about that. It's like certain data you just don't want people to have or store about you. Even like I sometimes, I ask medical questions to Venice.ai. So Venice is, I pay for it, but you can get it for free. It's also a little bit more crypto friendly, and it's got even a crypto token called VV.
You can pay by crypto.
You can pay by crypto.
Ah, okay.
But also it's private, so it doesn't, at least, they have a long post, their CEO put a tweet out, but they don't store your data. They use Akash hosting. So you should just be aware of what you're asking and where you're asking. Because I think they just said, like last week, OpenAI will give their data to like the FBI if they ask. Something like this. I think they say they store and they can use that if someone asks for it. So just be aware of this. I'm a privacy person, even if I don't think I have anything to hide. I don't think, yeah.
Just on that search you just did, how confident are you that it's not hallucinating or that it just gives you a bias to give you a very reasonable list of recommendations? Like, how confident that it's really exhausting?
Well, I mean, I think about the product recommendations. Well, he's a product research guy. We could ask him. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, one, I know my product pretty well. I've been doing this for a long time. I can tell it's looking at, it's not really doing totally unique, it's doing iterations of what, this is my top selling product. So it's kind of, it's making a variation of it.
Eco-friendly interlocking sniff.
Shelf mat. So it's these, why it's not up here today, huh? This thingy. So these are like liners that you put in a restaurant. They're more commercial use, but homes use it and it puts a little bit of a gap between you and the glass and so you don't put the cup here and then the water sticks inside the cup. It puts air so it dries, it's clean. Yeah, so this is one of our better ones. So it looks like it's not giving truly unique. I don't know if Alex or others saw it, but I forgot. It was some famous, I think one of the Google founders says AI gives you the best answers when you yell at it. Did you see that one? It was just like a few days ago I saw it on Twitter. But he says, like, is that really the best you can do? Can't you do any better than that? And they say that's how you get... And then somebody quote retweeted and says, just like he does to his human staff. But of course, you got to be careful about hallucinating. But at the same time, it's not like I'm totally blindly trusting what it says. I know my product and my business. But yeah, you got to definitely be careful about hallucinating. Sometimes it does. I've noticed when it doesn't know the answer, it just gives me some kind of BS. But I feel like every day this stuff is getting better. Do you remember? There's something called the Will Smith spaghetti. That one? Yeah, yeah. So they're almost celebrating it now, the AI people, because there's this anti-AI people that think this is all BS and it's going to go away and it's not going to change, which seems like the stupidest thing you could ever hear. Like, it's not going away. It's going to keep getting better. But they're like, oh, look, this Will Smith guy, look, he's eating. And the first version, I think it's 2023, and it does look really bad, right? Like, it's totally bad. But every year they're doing a new one, and now it's like, looks like Will Smith eating spaghetti, right? Like, so I also think it's getting better, but it's also based on your prompt. When I am more serious about my prompts are like a paragraph, sometimes even multiple paragraphs. I've actually think about prompts now as, because I've been working with like online teams for 10 years, more than 10 years, I think 2012. I think even now, I think I've had like work at home moms in Texas in 2006, I think was the first.
2006?
Yeah.
How old are you?
44.
Okay, you're young. Yeah, I know.
But I read, even before Tim Ferriss, I hired a military wives. Uh-huh. That there was like a website about military wives.
Mm. That military wives?
They were maybe hot. I had two. One, she used to be a U-Haul call center, but they basically couldn't work a normal job because their husbands were traveling on military. So they needed online jobs. Yes. So it was like a military wife group. And I heard about it, and I hired two women off of it for my customer support. Amazing. But what I learned is, I don't want to offend people, but I feel like a prompt is almost the same as giving a human a description. It's like I'm talking, see, if you give a human a very unclear half a sentence, you're going to get crap back.
Yeah.
But if you give a human a very clear prompt, I call, or directions.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the same, people complain about AI saying it's not good because they put like one unclear broad sentence. And then they're like, look, this gave me nothing. But if you give it a clear input, you get, I call it garbage in, garbage out. So you also should be aware of that. So sometimes it's about your prompt. But yeah, I don't know about hallucinating. I haven't noticed it as much. I don't
Me
know.
Me neither, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's getting better, but it still does happen.
I mean, my suspicion is about judgment and the AI's ability to apply judgment based on human experience versus if you prompt it again to produce five more recommendations and it gives you another set of five and then you ask to then rank all 10 in order, then it might actually mismatch. So then your original prompt might actually be inconsistent, right? Because you asked for the top five initially. So my suspicion is that with AI, it constantly, the logic is always trying to give you a reasonable or rational answer as opposed to applying real judgment. And I don't know if AI is really there yet to kind of get to what the humans ultimately do in sort of decision making in using judgment for decisions or recommendations.
So isn't that judgment like high cognitive ability, like a high level cognitive ability, right? It gives like authority to the AI.
Well, there's
MML,
LLM
can do, you know, yeah, to just, like, it's not like a real AI.
Well, I think it was, Alex said about negotiation, but there is an AGI? Artificial government intelligence, right? But they're basically saying, or maybe I'm talking about ASI. There's all these things, but basically they're saying, like, we're going to just listen to the AI. They're going to be like the government. They're going to be the boss. And then we tell them and they give us judgment.
But we are far away from that step. Like, let's not
yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I'd love to hear what you got.
To write MLM, it's not capable for such a thing, to be honest.
It's dangerous to say can't. It's just a matter of time. But yeah, I think the discussion is how long.
You know, matter of time, it's going to take a while.
I don't know, 10 years?
Are you sure it's so fast?
I think it's probably I read an article that says it's not about the technology, it's about society and the humans.
You remember graphene, the layer, single layer of carbon carbon bond together.
I kind of understand. I don't know what
they were telling that it's kind of revolutionized material, but what happened actually around it? It's like everything will be new, like in 10 years we look at it.
So I have a really bad, it's an embarrassing one of me, but I'll show it. This is me in the year 2000 in my university. It's very bad. But the reporter was asking college students, do you think the internet's going to change society?
Came back home for vacation, and some of them were actually using computers even though they have no idea.
Yeah, it looks... I mean, I was very nervous, and I wasn't clear, but the point is they thought, they're like, oh, this internet thing. It was the year 2000. Uh-huh. They're like, oh, we made it through Y2K, uh-huh. but the internet's not really changing anything. What internet? Like what? I can like put chat rooms? There was people doubting the internet in the year 2000, uh-huh. that it would change society. Look, I live in freaking Thailand. I sell in another country. I have a wife from China. That's because of the internet, man. Like, if there's no internet, like, I saw somebody tweet recently. I follow Twitter a lot. He says, if the internet didn't exist, I wouldn't exist. Because maybe I think AI is the same as the internet. And I think people are still doubting it now. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, it's like a cool chat thing. I can ask us some questions.
He's talking about judgment.
I think we're going to trust it to judge. Yeah, I think
it's a long way to come to this point.
Well, I mean, it's not different than negotiation. You put some parameters. You say, based on these parameters, make a decision. And it might be better than a human judge. Because mm-hmm. a human judge has, like, emotion. Oh, he's so sweet. Look at his eyes. Like, he's younger. He didn't know as much as you. You're like this mean person. You judge people differently based on them. Even a human judge, they look at two cases in two different days, they'll judge differently because they're a similar negotiation. But you give them parameters. It sounds cold and horrible, but I'm also a blockchain believer, and blockchain is also not as it's finality, right? People get hacked and lose their money. There's no reversing it, right? But it's similar to like judgment in AI.
Currently, overall from this blockchain thing, is people have just moved to the new.
Over? I think it's anything but over. Stablecoins just got passed in the U.S.
My mom told me there are better technology from both blockchain, much more advanced, much more safe, and much more less complex.
I mean, that's a long discussion. I don't know which other technology she means, but I think just last week Shopify announced stablecoin payments with Coinbase. So now
you're talking about crypto.
Well, crypto's blockchain.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm sorry, I thought you were referring to blockchain as a technology as a whole. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you're an IT guy. Please say something. I just marry IT guy. But I don't know anything about informatics.
The main point is judgment, I believe, is something you can program. There might be exceptions. Maybe a human might have to intervene at a certain point, just like negotiation. Maybe it gets to a certain point, and then maybe a human reviews it. But I believe you can program judgment. It's basically rules, generally. I guess humans, the big difference of a human from an AI or a blockchain is they do make exceptions.
No, I totally understand that crypto is based on the, well, not all crypto now, to be honest, let's face it, but most of serious crypto is based on the blockchain. Just concept of blockchain technology as a whole, but I understand from people who are in computer science, IT and data, wow, now we move to much more simpler and much more efficient technology.
Well, yeah, you don't need a blockchain for everything. That's a Bitcoin saying, Bitcoin Maxi saying, but I don't fully agree you don't need a blockchain for everything, but there's also you don't need a token for everything. There's different layers of blockchain, right? So a lot of people think blockchain means crypto token. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we're a little bit off topic of this discussion, and it's a little bit outside of my expertise, yeah. But the point is, yeah, you don't need a blockchain for everything. And there's other technologies I'm sure might be better for certain use cases.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that to address your question earlier about judgment, so under the hood, I used to be an AI engineer. Under the hood, it's all probability trees. We do the same thing as humans. We're more quantum, so we do this. Whereas the probability tree is definitely binary. So what happens in terms of judgment, is that you run through all these trees very quickly. and then the tree with the highest probability is the answer. Practically, what I do is that I always have a board of directors. I call them board directors. They're just AI agents. And then each AI agent is programmed to think like somebody I admire or I respect, and then I have them check each other. And then the answers will be very close. You'd be so surprised. So let's say you rank order 10 items, and then number 3 and 4 might switch when an advisor, much like a board in your company, right? They might switch, but it's very close.
So,
because they ran through a probability tree, and then when they get to a probability statement that's very close, that's where it's go either way, coin toss. Yeah.
So do you do that? How do you do, I mean, are they separate models, separate?
You could do some model, but I don't use Grok, but let's say you use OpenAI, you can actually have a person, let's say I like Tim Ferriss, I like Gandhi, like somebody here, and then each person, just like a board, will fare the answer from their viewpoint, and then you have a goal, of course. So your goal is the corporations, they have to hit these metrics, hit these objectives, and they all know that. And then they'll evaluate the answer and give you their perspective, and they might tweak a few things, but in the end, don't forget, their data is the same, either through a vector database or internet. That's it. So that's...
But you still need to have assumption. These people of board, on your board, who they are, you need to like create that by yourself. So it's not objective, it's subjective.
You could create them, or you can get a person from their life. Bill Gates has a plethora of data out there that your LLM can draw from. Mike was using...
Yeah, this is one of mine.
Hey there, my name is Katrina, and I'm thrilled to represent New York Bar Store. As a bartender, I know quality tools and ingredients make all the difference.
Yeah. You can have AI avatars in your dinner.
Shakers to syrups, they're my go-to. Head over to newyorkbarstore.com to see their amazing
selection.
And then
you don't, of course she's attractive, but it's not just like the visual. You have a background. So you give them a story. And then they have a whole persona. So they're becoming a person. So you create these independent... I don't know what the word is, like models or agents. And then they're just like a person that has history and a perspective.
So is that through custom GPT? Like each board member, you create a custom GPT on OpenAI?
But you think it's subjective.
You could, of course. Everything is subjective. Because you want the subjectivity. There's no such thing as true in the beginning. So you want that. Mike was trying to store things like, it's good, but there's a limit on that database. Because that database, I don't know what it is for Grok, but it's about 500K for OpenAI. At 500K, you're screwed. So you really can't like, grow that any longer. So another way to do that is to API into Grok, but build your own vector database. And that's easy to do. Go to PinePoint, you know, pay per month. That vector database is a true database to where you can as much memory as you want. Grok, you can draw from Grok, you can draw paper AI, you can draw from Llama, whatever you want. Okay, but that database is you. That's what you want. And in that database, you can store your personalities or not. But I'm telling you, it's pretty damn accurate.
When you say vector database, is that a website that you just... What's the vector database?
What's the vector database? Just to keep it super simple, so AI doesn't use a relational database, any relational databases, like Oracle,
okay.
SQL.
Okay.
So this table, this row, it doesn't use that kind of database. It uses a database, a form factor called a vector. Okay. And a vector has associations with many other objects, rather than just X and Y and Z, just like your tables and rows.
How can we access this thing?
So you API, you build your knowledge here, and then you API into the LLM. Think of LLM as the CPU. That's what it is. Grok, Meta, OpenAI, they're just CPUs. If you would hear an analogy, right? So you still need a database. Right now, people are using the CPU as a database. It's like using their RAM on a computer.
Okay, yeah.
How much RAM do you have? 256, right? That's all you have. Eventually, it's going to have to drop on hard drive.
I'm sorry, I couldn't see.
That's what it is.
Sure.
So now you got to start thinking about hard drives. Pinecone vector database is a hard drive.
So this is this factor database.
Vector.
Vector.
V-E-C.
Vector.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
so
here.
Native English speaker. Uh-huh. Vector database.
Okay.
Wait.
Yeah, this is a better picture.
Yeah, because the hallucination happens because the RAM, I'm using, that's not the real thing, but the RAM on Grok or the RAM of AI is full. Okay, so it's going to miss a lot of pieces then that will start producing because the probability to be broken.
Right. So when you train a model, you train all that data into Pinecone or into a vector database. Okay,
yeah.
And that's the brains of the whole AI.
It's not the brains.
It's the memory.
AI is all about memory. They either get memory from the web or they get from you, but they have to store it somewhere. And if you store it on Grok or AI or whatever, you're stuck with 256 or 64K or whatever they have. Because they can't give you unlimited memory. They can't. They don't have the capacity. But you can buy your memory, or rent your memory.
Cool.
Yeah,
just some other prompts. Of course, we know how to like create a blog post for SEO or for websites, customer service, chatbot scripts. Just a tip of the iceberg, but I'd love to hear how some of you guys are using AI, especially for e-commerce or just in general. And then we can maybe just start to wrap up and
you want to go. We could do this discussion all night.
Yeah, that's it. But I think the most important is I think if you're still doubting it, it's you have to use it, right? I just think it's a matter of time before you have to use it. And
no, my wife get great result for her prediction thing, and the database she used was fine. You need to pay, no?
Yeah, there's a free one, but
it's free.
20.
There's a limited version.
The database she used, some European databases, the format, the file format was strange, so she needed to convert it in the more accessible format. Yeah, but she claims there are abundance of these databases. Just in Europe, you have this weird law that you need to do this specific format for this public database, which doesn't have sense in the 21st century to use it anymore. That's what's the biggest issue for her to convert. And then she put it in the cloud and get really good prediction model. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right.
But then again, it's not as, it's good, it's work, but it's not as good as real people are doing it.
I don't agree.
I remember I'm a big chess guy.
Do you enjoy the podcast Global from Asia? Do you enjoy all the community events that we do? The best way to support is coming out to our annual crossbordersummit.com in Chiang Mai this November 3rd, 4th, and 5th, 2025. I have amazing speakers, amazing people getting together. We're pushing the limits. We're making things happen. This is where the movers and shakers and the deal makers come. It's the limited supply of attendees and tickets, and we have been selling out every year. So I recommend checking out earlier, crossbordersummit.com. Thanks everybody for watching. Give me some feedback if you like me taking a camera with me at these events, keeping it real. Some stuff I try not to share. Alvin, my editor, please, when we talk a little bit sensitive stuff, I might not share it or show it. I also made some slides. You can download those if you'd like to download slides on the show notes. I was using it as an outline, but experienced. I think that's always what we talked about Global from Asia. Even since the beginning, we were talking to people already doing business, wanting to go global, wanting to go to the next level of their business. And we're continuing that now, going more advanced and more experienced. So thanks so much. Have a great day. Take care.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.